This podcast is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For more than 20 years, Premier's expert surgeons have helped thousands of East Tennessee patients in the fight against breast cancer.
This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. ATFCU.com is the website. Gentlemen. Nathan called in about the block on Combo. We have seen our fair share of dirty plays against one was against Sha Tuttle back in 2015 when Tennessee played Georgia at home. Brandon Clablano, the Georgia center or guard, peeling back, going low on Sha, ending his freshman season. Auburn's fullback, tight end, H-back, whatever they use him as, sealed the backside, hit, combo towards ACL. Touchdown turnover. But that play in football should be eliminated permanently in college football. That particular play, being able to cut in the trenches, should be eliminated from college football, touchdown or turnover.
I mean,
you have to take off your orange colored glasses. You have to put your feelings to a side. You're a Tennessee fan who just witnessed one of our players being a victim of that block. You have to think about long term, if the shoe was reversed, are you okay with it? You have to really take off your orange colored sunglasses here.
I'll say touchdown, although I'm not very confident in it, because if you do take away the cut block, then Georgia Tech, Army, those teams have to find a new way of playing football. And that would be difficult for those schools.
Who cares, Paul? They're not in the SEC. Who cares about them?
I'd say touchdown because I've heard plenty of NFL defensive backs, I want to say Richard Sherman, to where he would rather be or a slot receiver, I'm sorry, but they'd rather be hit in the head and deal with the short-term concussion. Now, granted, you may have to deal with the long-term effects of potentially getting CTE and things like that, but a torn ACL could ruin your career. And versus where a concussion, you can get over within a week or two. So torn ACLs from these cut blocks or knee injuries in general just take money out of your pocket. And so I think – I don't know that if you can altogether take it away, but there needs to be something done to it to prevent so many knee injuries from the cut blocks going forward. I don't have the answer, but I'll say touchdown that something needs to change and that right now I'd say they need to get rid of it.
My first inclination is touchdown for sure. I would say this before any of that – any decision like that was made. I want to see the stats on that. If that's even possible, obviously I don't know if that research has been done, how many injuries occur on cut blocks like that. They got stats for dang everything else, so maybe. But I would want to see hard proof that lots of catastrophic injuries are happening on those plays, and it's not just, you know, a couple of isolated incidents. So I would want to see that first, but yeah, my first inclination for everything that Ben just said, yeah, I think that's where I would go, is that it would help the game of football most likely. But before doing something drastic like that that would alter like the way a team like Army plays football, I would obviously want to see hard facts on it.
One of the best pranks in history is when there is three people. There is one guy talking to another guy or girl, talking to another girl, and the third person goes up behind one of the people and kneels down, and then the other person pushes the person and they fall because the person is behind them. And I bring that up because that's what happens, it seems like, every single play inside of the trenches. I want you to think about this. And there's really no way for y'all to know this, but I'm going to say turnover. And here's why I'm saying turnover. If you're already on the ground, if you went to go cut someone, and that person, you cut them, you guys are both on the ground, it's really no way for those two guys to roll up on someone else's knee or ankle. Jared got bent backwards because someone hit him low, his foot was caught, and then someone else hit him high. But that stuff happens, it seems like, every single play in the trenches. You have five guys blocking four or five guys on defense, whatever, maybe six, blocking six, whatever. And you have most of these guys standing up. They're standing up blocking. They're trying to maintain a block. They're trying to, you know, stay engaged with the defender. Well, sometimes there's battles that are lost. There's reps that are lost. And someone gets thrown to the ground. Well, sometimes they roll into someone else's knee. They roll into someone else's ankle. And they get hurt. This is why I hate the rule that was changed by the NCAA when they stopped allowing cut blocks on a perimeter. Because, honestly, those cut blocks on the perimeter, they prevent injuries from wide receivers when the running back basically runs up the back of a wide receiver blocking on the outside and he can't cut block. You get hurt actually more sometimes when you don't cut, when you're standing straight up and someone is running and falling and being thrown into your knees and your ankles. So I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I don't think it's going to help with the numbers. Unfortunately, it's a part of the game. Just like concussions is a part of the game, knee injuries are a part of the game. Turn ankles are a part of the game. Shoulder injuries is a part of the game. You use your shoulder to hit every single play. There's no way you can protect someone from hurting their shoulder. There's no way you're going to be able to protect someone from hurting their knee. It's just a part of the game. The rulemakers, the NCAA, the NFL would rather the players hit each other on the knees all day long than to have players hit each other in the head and have long-term consequences and results, because they can be sued because it's money out of their pocket. It's not money out of their pocket when guys are tearing each other's ACLs. So I don't think that rule will ever be changed. I think you kind of have to allow cut blocking in the trenches to prevent injuries. As crazy as that might sound, if you change it, you'll have more, in my opinion. Let's get to Hitch. Hitch, good morning.
Well, good morning, Swain. How you doing,
bro? I'm great, Hitch. How are you, man?
Well, you know, I just figured out something. We got everything we've said about Alabama all week, and just to give you a little superfluous information, I was looking at my cell phone, and not that it matters, but if I took the S off your name and put a T there in its place, it'd be Twain Event, which would be my brother's event, so he could, you know, team up with you sometime.
All right, let's do it. Twain, you know, Event.
Mark Twain.
S and put a T in there, and that's his name.
Twain.
Hey, the real reason I called after that superfluous information that matters not.
It matters to
one
me.
One of the things that you hear in this game is a moral victory. I don't think there is such a thing as moral victory, but I do want to come away from the game having improvement with my quarterback and stuff. I think you can have improvement. But I just don't believe in moral victory. And in a moral victory, you're going to lose some of the plays that you didn't make. I mean, you've got to have some losses on some big plays, I believe. But just wondered what you think about what would your measurement be of an Alabama game this week that we had a moral victory? And that's assuming that our coach has to take a few chances. But what is a moral victory to you?
There's no such thing as a moral victory.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm probably the wrong person to ask, man. You lose or you win, that's it. And there's no in-between. There's no, well, no, you lost. But there are opportunities to get better when you lose. You learn a lot when you lose. I believe that in life, you don't take any losses because you either learn or you get better, one of the two, or you win. You learn, get better, or you win. And even in a loss, sometimes you can improve. You can learn a lesson. And I think those are valuable lessons for your life. I think it's valuable lessons for your career in sports. So same thing here. Tennessee loses. There's a lesson for everybody to learn. Okay, well, we need to recruit like Alabama. Okay, we need to play like Alabama. Okay, we need to get players like Alabama. Okay, we need to do this like Alabama. You learn on what to do when you lose to programs like Alabama.
Let me ask you this, then. If you lose to a team like Alabama and you kind of go for the win, but you didn't make the plays, and it kind of puts you a little farther behind, my question is, that actually could affect recruiting, I would think. If you know, teams saw a bigger spread, they want to go to Alabama because they're going to win championships. So there's a lot of things to think about when you're recruiting and everything. So, but I'm like you. I say let the dogs out and let's find out where we're at.
Roof. Yes, I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. Hey, go swing. Coaches have told the players – they told the players that they're recruiting, hey, we need you. It doesn't look good right now. This is the worst it's going to look in is the first year. We need you. Come on. We beat Auburn, and we coached them up. The blueprint's already created. All we need you to plug in, and then we can go compete for a championship. That's really the recruiting pitch. I think it's been consistent all year long. I think it will stay that that way up until signing day, and then it'll change a little bit next year, but that is the pitch right now. But I don't believe in Tennessee fans or Tennessee celebrating or being happy with losing. I think you can still learn when you lose, but a moral victory means you're feeling good inside that you only lost by this amount when you could have lost by a lot more. I don't feel fuzzy inside, but I'm at positives.
And I'll say this out the door is one of the great ones, Muhammad Ali, talked a little trash just to raise his game, and people really didn't know that back in the day. But every time, you know, he got on somebody's butt about nothing, and that would just make him mad, he usually ended up winning the fight. And you've got to have the skills and stuff too, but you've got to have something to pump you up. And I say put it on the line and have a little conversation and let's stir that nest egg down in Alabama. We win, lose, or draw, but it'll be the way it'll be. Y'all be cool.
Okay, thank you, man. Thanks so much. Really appreciate that. What do y'all think about that?
You had something to say. You go ahead, Charlie.
Well, I just I guess whenever you talk about moral victories or, you know, lack thereof, I am not a moral victory guy either. But what is it exactly? How do you categorize it? When you have a thing, like I think the perfect example is, was it 2013 Georgia? 2014, the Pig Howard fumbled through the end zone.
13. And then 14, Todd Gurley converted a fourth down to
Win the game. And Georgia, in the fumble through the end zone, Georgia was ranked, weren't they top five? I want to say like number three in America or something in that game.
They were top 10 for sure.
And Tennessee took them to overtime. Yes, Tennessee lost, but I genuinely, like within myself, thinking about Tennessee football, it was Butch Jones' first year, I walked away thinking, this is really encouraging. And I actually, like, yeah, it was disheartening, but I walked away feeling like, hey, the future is bright. What do you call that if I, not?
I think Swain disagrees, but I call that a moral victory.
And
I'm okay with that because if Tennessee comes out here this weekend and loses by 7 points to Alabama, yes, I will be.
That's encouraging.
I will be disappointed that Tennessee lost the ball game, but I'll be happy. I will be. If Tennessee loses to Alabama this weekend by 7, with the state of Tennessee football and what it's been over the last year, I will be happy if Tennessee loses by a score to Alabama.
Yeah.
That's a situation where I'm okay with a moral victory. But next year, no. The year after that, no. It just kind of – it depends on the circumstances.
Yeah, it's situational, I think.
That was kind of my thoughts on that conversation.
Because it would genuinely mean, if you do that with Alabama this weekend, it would genuinely mean that your team's moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And that's something.
That's a victory.
But it is not a W in the win column, but it is something.
I will never be happy losing a game. That I think that is the definition of a moral victory, is when you somehow, some way, feel happy about the outcome when you lose. I won't be happy, but I can pick out things that we can build off of and move forward on. Just like in a win, I can pick things out that's not good, that is maybe a little worrisome, that we have to work on, or we're going to lose the next match. I think kind of works both ways. You know, coaches really, really are able to do this, and the reason why maybe I'm able to do it is because I sat in a film room with college coaches for 4 years, and that's how they coached us. Was it didn't matter about winning or losing. It was about how you executed. Did you do your job, yes or no? That's what we're coaching you on. That's what we're grading you on. So let's say Tennessee goes out and, you know, they keep it close and they only lose by seven. I'm still going to be mad that we lost to Alabama, but I'll say, man, they're playing better. I think if you – some fans can't do that. Some fans, they're not advanced enough. They're little simpletons when it comes to that. They either get really mad or really happy. They don't know how to be in between. I think I would be somewhere in between where, yeah, I'm upset that we lost, because at the end of the day, you lost to Alabama. But you can't sit here and tell me that, man, they might have gotten better from last week. And it doesn't seem that way because they won last week. You can get better sometimes when you play a better team and lose. And that's just the funny thing about football, the funny thing about sports. 865-255-03. Be right back.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken, not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
I'm Vince Moore, wide receiver, VFL 1991, and you're listening to the Swain Event.
Welcome Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. And hour two is brought to you by Alumni Hall. Get game day ready. Everything orange and white is right there at Westtown Mall, Turkey Creek, Paper Mill. Outside of Knoxville includes locations in Brentwood, Bristol, and Murfreesboro. But don't fret if you are not in one of those six locations in Tennessee, because you can always shop at Alumni Hall online, alumnihall.com, www.alumnihall.com. I think I just like saying www.
I thought you were about to say WWE.
www.alumnihall.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Alumni Hall UT.
Speaking of Alumni Hall, real quick. When I was home this weekend, I had to go to the Alumni Hall in Huntsville, and it was nothing but Alabama and Auburn, and I wanted to throw up. It's just such a different vibe. Our Tennessee Alumni Halls here in East Tennessee are so much better, so much more cleaner,
yes,
friendlier, better looking. The people are better looking. They ain't missing teeth.
Yeah.
They're not talking on a flip phone.
Yeah, through two cans.
Through a pigeon?
Yeah.
You see what Saban said today?
865-255-03, B-Drive waterproofing hotline. Let me take a look at the text box this morning. Got some good stuff here on the text box. So let's see here. What we got? What we got going on?
It seems like I've been looking. We triggered folks talking about how Ben and I walk away from some losses a little bit encouraged sometimes. PDD said, freaking moral victories. I just imagine this the way he said it.
I think a bunch of people are just reacting and really not listening. A moral victory is when you brag and you happy and you're excited and you're feeling good about only losing by a certain amount of points. You can still be upset at a loss, but be encouraged by what you have seen in that game. There's a very fine line.
It is.
It's a very fine line. I think saying that you will be happy if Tennessee loses to Alabama by 7 is a moral victory. Sorry.
Yeah.
I think if you say you would be upset, but you can't tell me that you wouldn't be encouraged if Tennessee plays Alabama better than everyone else or anyone else this season have played Alabama. You would be encouraged. There's actually, and this may not, again, make sense to simpletons, but there's a chance that you can play better than how you play last week and still lose.
Yeah. And that will absolutely happen. If Tennessee has an even better game than they had last week, they will still lose.
Yeah, I mean
to Alabama.
That can happen. It's going to take Alabama to have their worst game ever.
Like catastrophically bad.
Yeah. And it's going
to take 5 turnovers.
It will take Tennessee to have their best game to have a chance. But it's possible that Tennessee can play even better than they did against Auburn and still lose. But that doesn't mean that you are going around skipping and that you're gonna go paint the rock with your friends. You're gonna go down to the nearest hardware store and rack up on paint, and you're gonna pull out your Peyton Marie.
We
skills,
only lost by 7.
And you're gonna go paint the rock. That's not what you do. But you can say, man, okay. Oh yeah, we're running the table now. Cause if we play like we play against Auburn and Alabama, oh yeah, this team is going to win the rest of the games, no doubt. I think that's different than a more victory. Let's get to
well, and real quick, PDD comes back with Ben just said that he would be happy with Tennessee if they don't get blown out. Yes,
say,
I would be.
You did say that.
I did say that.
I think that's a more victory.
And what did I say during the break?
You said you don't care.
People can make fun of me for all they want. This is the only game that I would accept a moral victory, and I'm okay with it. If Tennessee loses by 7 or 10 to Alabama, I will be happy. That is a moral victory, and the only time this season I will accept a moral victory.
Okay. Hey.
Sue me.
Because, and like Swain was just saying there, it does mean your chances of maybe winning out, definitely of making a bowl game, go way up if you have a performance like that against Alabama.
And you are consistent.
And that's why I would be happy. is because, A, Tennessee didn't lose by 28 points like Vegas thinks they're going to, and, B, it's a good indicator for the future. So it's not just I'm happy because Tennessee only lost by 7 or 10. I'm happy because it's a great sign for the future of Tennessee football.
That makes sense. I'm just not wired that way. But it makes sense.
And like I told Charlie also during the break after I made that statement, if I was on the football team, I would not have that mindset at all. That is a pure fan football mindset. The players should not think of that at all. If they lose by 1 to Alabama, if they lose by 50 to Alabama, they should be pissed off.
Well, I think some fans think they're on the team. I mean, honestly, I think it is weird because I think they really feel like they got to have the same mindset as the players. Remember this conversation that you sometimes hear? Well, don't talk trash because it's bulletin board material. I'm sorry. I didn't think that the fans are playing. Well, you know, you got to be, you know, you can't, you got to say this and you got to feel this way because, you know, no, you're not playing. You can say what you want. You can feel how you want. You have no outcome on the game individually. Now, if you're at the game with another 100,000 people and you're loud, then okay, you can impact the game. But how you feel is not going to impact those 18 and 22-year-olds out there and those coaches on Saturday. And I really think sometimes the fans really think that they're players, that they have to match the same mentality, and you don't.
It seems like
they're sometimes. I mean, it's fair. It's fair. Let's go to Big Orange Mac on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Big Orange Mac, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
My man.
You don't have to quiz a bandwagon Bama fan. But I mean, it's very simple. It's very simple stuff. Like, who do y'all play on Saturday? I guarantee you they don't know. There's a young lady that works. I'm serious. There's a young lady that works at an establishment here that I always go get breakfast at every morning. And every time I have my UT hat on, going to work, she's like, Roll Tide. It was on Saturday morning. Said, hey, by the way, who y'all play today? Oh, I don't know. I was like, hold up. You the biggest Bama fan this side of Tuscaloosa. Y'all know who y'all play today? I already knew the answer. If they're playing Ole Miss, oh, we'll beat them. Y'all got your ass. Well, I mean, got your butt whooped. I mean, you ain't got to quiz them hard. Just tell them, sing the first verse of Yay Alabama. They don't know what Yay Alabama is. They think their fight song is Ramma Jamma. Yes, I got into an argument with a gentleman said, oh, our fight song is way better. Ramma Jamma is way better than Rocky Top. And that ain't even the fight song.
Hey, Big Orange Matt, was that lady that you were talking to, was that the lady from the picnic table video?
No. Don't do that to me, Swain.
I'm sorry, man. I had to.
Woo, boy. Hey, we'll another topic.
We'll keep it PG, man. We'll keep it PG.
I know stuff about the University of Alabama the average, quote-unquote, Bama fan don't even know.
Yes,
like,
you do.
How did their mascot become the elephant? Well, when they took their first trip to the Rose Bowl, they got donated luggage to them, and the emblem on the luggage was a red elephant. That's how, and they went out there and they beat, I think it was Stanford, I think, in the Rose Bowl, and that kind of became their little good luck charm, whatever. That's how the elephant became their mascot. Hmm. Stuff like that.
Did not know that.
I can name Dixie Howell, Pat Trammell, Leroy Jordan, all Americans in Alabama. They don't know that, but they the biggest Bama fans in the world. Dude, I can drive 3 minutes from my house to my workshop here at work in Springfield in Robertson County. I can count 15 cars in between that 3 minute span with Bama tags and crap. It's an epidemic worse than Ebola. I mean, they were 10 years ago, 10 to 15, 20 years ago, they was missing like Malaysian Flight 370. They was missing like a Vietnam POW. You couldn't find them. And now they everywhere. You can't throw a rock without hitting them. I'll be so glad when I can brag again and they can be quiet for 365 days. Gentlemen, y'all have a great day. Let's go get this dub. I feel a little confident. Go ball.
Let's do it, man. Let's do it. They put their pants on just like us.
Great call.
Well no, because so Butch assists them.
They have help putting their pants on. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. You got to put two legs of the pants.
I think a perfect question.
What? Are you confused? Two legs?
That was a confusing description.
Yeah, you got to put your two legs in the two legs of the pants.
I've still been marinating on this. I think a perfect question would be something like this. When was the year that an Alabama football player first won the Heisman Trophy? Because I feel like a total bandwagon fan would be like, well, we were really good back with Bear Bryant, so maybe like 1960. And that's 2009, and it happened in the Saban era. I think that it's a perfect question like that. I think it's subtle, a little bit of misdirection.
Ask him where the mascot came from. That'll get him.
Now, well, I mean, I feel like even I don't know what is the exact origin of Smokey. I mean, obviously, I know the Volunteers, but, like, what's the origin of Smokey the Dog? I don't know that, and I went to Tennessee for 6 years and grew up in Knoxville. So
fair enough.
I'll be totally honest there. That's a tough question.
I'm not admitting stuff like that. I know everything about Tennessee.
I know everything.
I know it
everything.
All.
Everything. I'm a Tennessee fan. VFL, Swain Event. Be right back.
Chop it up with the fellas. Call the Be Dry Waterproofing Hotline at 865-200-5503.
We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Big Orange football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man, select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health, and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388, or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Backed by popular demand, shop tax-free at Better Mattress during the month of October. Save hundreds of dollars store-wide. Better Mattress will pay your sales tax on any purchase. My Better Mattress has me sleeping better than ever, and it's handcrafted in East Tennessee, so I know it is made to last by good people who care about the quality of their work. Better Mattress makes it so easy to choose a mattress, you can get started right now. Visit bedrmattress.com and click on Mattress Prescription. Answer a few few questions, and they'll send you some options to start with. Plus, at Better Mattress, shoppers sleep worry-free. If you don't like it after 100 nights, they'll swap it out for you, and your Better Mattress will come with a 20-year warranty. Shop Better Mattress tax-free this month only. Good night, just got better.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
Pass downfield is complete. That's Swain. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Give him six. Touchdown.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Yeah, more victory conversation. Got folks fired up. I like it, man. I like it. It's Bama week. Let's get fired up a little bit. Let's get fired up. I think it's a real thin line. I really do. And I think folks who point the finger at others subscribing to more victories may be the same people who would be happy to. I am just not wired that way to look at a team having more points than Tennessee and being happy. But I do understand if Tennessee plays their best game of the season, and let's just say, let's say Mike Tyson. Let's say Alabama's Mike Tyson in Tyson's prime. If you lose by a decision and you bloodied Mike Tyson a little bit, something that no one else really did much of, I can see how you would say, okay, yeah, well, yeah, I'm cool. I'm not mad, but I mean, I'm not happy. But hey, man, we played well. We bloodied Alabama, but I'm not gonna be happy. I will not be happy losing the game, but you can't sit here and tell me that that's not progress. It's hard sometimes to identify progress in the eye of a storm or in when you lose. But I truly believe that Tennessee could play better than they did last week because they got a little lucky on some plays. Jerm Pruitt sat down with Matt Stiscombe and they're going over the plays, breaking down the film, and Bryce Thompson made a great play. Two guys was covering one Auburn receiver, and Bryce Thompson had to cover two open receivers. And if Jarrett Stidham was a little bit early with his throw, that's a touchdown instead of an incomplete pass, which Auburn had to kick a field goal. It is 14-3 instead of 10-3. The game is different. Auburn's wide receiver ran right past our DB and dropped a touchdown. So, they had plays that they left on the field. We had some plays that we got. Yeah, we were fortunate that we made. We took some risks, and they paid off. A few plays could have went differently, and the game could have went differently. Tennessee could come out on Saturday and play a whole lot better and still lose. That's possible because of how good Alabama is. All I care about is how we play. That's it. I care about how we play the game. In this game, yes, I want to win, but I don't expect to win because I'm looking at this from an objective point of view. I'm not looking at this as a Tennessee fan that want to feel this win and I hate Alabama. Yes, I hate Alabama as a former player, but I'm looking at this as an analyst, as someone who is not biased, and I don't see it. I don't see a win for Tennessee here. but you can still take a step forward. And that's what we want. We want to take steps forward. We don't want to take any steps back. If you are on the 20-yard line, the best way to score is not have any negative plays. I don't care if you get 3 yards a pop, 3 yards a pop, 3 yards a pop. Eventually, you're going to score. That's what I want to do as a football program. And I just want to take a step forward, 3 steps, 3 yards here, 3 yards here, 3 yards here. And then by the time it is 2019, maybe 2020, we're talking about Tennessee winning the East. That's what you have to do to get to that point, is you have to take positive steps moving forward before you get to that point. You don't wake up one day and go, oh, hey, we're East champions. Or, hey, oh, yeah, we just beat, Georgia and Florida in the same season and Alabama just overnight. No, it's a process, and this is a part of the process. You have to be able to sometimes see the good in a loss. And I saw that a little bit in Georgia. Came back, was able to beat Alabama, beat Auburn in Alabama, and now we play Alabama. And, hey, you may play better, but you still may lose.
Yeah, it's this assertion from PDD that I just don't agree with talking about this. He said it's the whole everyone gets a trophy mindset, if you subscribe at all to moral victories. And I don't agree, because what we're talking about, if you take positives away from a loss, is that you're thinking about how it's going to do good things for you in the future. You're not actually saying, oh, my team got a win, let's give ourselves a trophy and a ring for losing to Alabama by 7. You're saying, no, this means good things in the future, and it's going to lead to wins on the football field here next week, maybe the next week, maybe next year, depending on what situation that you're in. You're not, like, nobody's getting a trophy for a moral victory. I don't think any of us are saying that. I don't think that it's the everyone gets a trophy kind of mindset, which is, you know, I have a problem with that as much as the next guy. I don't like that. Not everybody should get a trophy. Sports should teach you how to lose and give you that sort of skill set and teach you how to get back up and get back going and have a tougher demeanor. But this really is just, you're saying, there were positive things here that will lead to wins in the future. You're not saying, hey, give us a ring for losing to Alabama by 7.
Because this conversation is, it's the lines are so thin, we have to be really careful. You can be mad and still take positives from the game. We're talking about being happy. We're talking about being happy that Tennessee only lost by a certain number of points. That is a moral victory. You can still be mad and take positives. That is not a moral victory. I don't think even a moral victory is saying that we are celebrating and everyone gets a trophy. I don't think it's the same thing as a participation trophy or anything like that. You got to understand where Tennessee is coming from, which got embarrassed the last few years against Alabama, got blanked at home against Georgia when Peyton Manning was in the house, got embarrassed this year at home honoring the 98 team, had every coach in America say no to Tennessee. I mean, for this game, hey, I understand. Me saying that I don't necessarily subscribe to more victories, or me saying that I'm not built that way, doesn't mean I don't understand. I do understand for this particular game, playing against probably at this start of the season, this is something Jerome Pruitt said. He says the best team he's ever watched on film in the first 6 games of the season. Let's just say the Alabama continues and they win championship. We're talking about probably one of the best 10 college football teams ever, probably.
Maybe the best.
I understand if you're a Tennessee fan and you go, hey, man, if we don't lose to Alabama by 7 and everyone else is losing to them by 40, 30, 35, 25 points, hey, I'm okay. I understand that. I'm not going to judge you because it's Alabama. But
if you feel that way against Florida or the rest of the SEC games, that's where it becomes a problem.
Yeah, I think if, like, next week you play South Carolina and – there's no such thing.
No.
I don't understand it, nor do I subscribe to it at all. For the rest of the season, I don't agree.
Even next year,
understand or subscribe to it at all. So
I think the more I think about it, the more how I feel is that I would be upset that Tennessee lost to Alabama, but I would be happy with their performance on the field if they only lose by 7 or 10 points. I don't know if you still consider that a moral victory, because I'm going to be pissed off that they lost to Alabama because it's Alabama. But I, in my opinion, because of where Alabama is and where Tennessee is, I think it's okay to be happy with Tennessee's performance if they only lose by 7 or 10 points. Would you consider that a moral victory as well? Because to me, a moral victory is being happy when you lose regardless. And I'm not going to be happy that Tennessee lost. It's more of me being happy with Tennessee's performance.
I think it's splitting hairs a little bit there. Okay. I think if
it's getting a little tedious.
Yeah, I think it's splitting hairs. I think if Tennessee loses by whatever amount, and there's a fan who says, "You know what, guys, I'm happy we only lost by this," I think that has a little more victory on it. And for this game, I understand if you feel that way. I don't feel that way. I take every L pretty much the same. I'm upset. I'm mad. But I also can separate my emotion from reality and go, hey, man, look, ooh, okay. Man, we lost the game, but man, we got a little something here. That's what we did against Georgia. That's what these coaches did against Georgia. They took the good in the Georgia game and worked on that during the bye week, and they came out and they beat Auburn. Like, so there is value sometimes in losing, but I'm just not going to be happy with Tennessee only losing by 7 or 21 or 14, because as a player, we lost 6-3, and I was pissed off. And I'm still pissed off about it, and it's 13 years later. I should be 4-0 against Alabama. We only lost to Alabama by 3 points. I'm still upset. So that's just how I'm wired. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't understand a Tennessee fan for saying, hey, man, I'm okay for, you know, only losing 7 points to a freaking dynasty. Like 2002 Miami when they came up here. You wasn't going to win that game. You had no shot at winning that game. Cedric Houston ran his hardest. Tennessee punched Miami with all that they had. And Miami said, that's it? All right, boys, let's play. And then blew out Tennessee. Sometimes it's like that. And this is one of those times that will take place this weekend, in my opinion. For what? Coming up next.
Today looks to be sunny with a high of 63 and a low of 43. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high of 68 and a low of 56. Saturday, an 80% chance of showers and a high in the low 60s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by Be Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, Be Dry can help. BeDry.com. Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give BeDry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, BeDry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. BeDry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words: better call BeDry. Reach out to BeDry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call BeDry.
Peripheral arterial disease, or PAD, is a dangerous hardening of the arteries that can lead to infection and even limb amputations. September is PAD and Vascular Disease Awareness Month, and the vascular surgeons of Premier Surgical Associates want you to know that finding and treating PAD early is the key. If you smoke, have diabetes, or are overweight, you are at a higher risk of this deadly disease. Talk to your physician about whether you should be screened for PAD. If detected early, it can often be managed with lifestyle changes and medication instead of surgery. For information about PAD and other vascular diseases, visit PremierSurgical.com right now.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFOKnox.com. That's OFOKnox.com. It's almost football time in Tennessee, which means it's time to get geared up at Alumni Hall. Find the best selection of Nike, Nike Golf, Tommy Bahama, and all those retro logos you love. Don't forget about your game day crew. Plenty of selection for the ladies, the little balls, and to upgrade their tailgate. Shop now at one of their six convenient locations in Tennessee or 24/7 at AlumniHall.com. Do you want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team.
Dan Mullen posing awkwardly with recruits.
For what?
Gators working out wearing costumes.
For what?
Vanderbilt
making a sorority-style video.
For what?
Aaron Murray and David Pollock opening their mouths.
For what?
All right, it's time for What here on the Swain event. We highlight folks making some very questionable life decisions out here. And gentlemen, looks like you guys are locked and loaded. So who wants to go first? We got about 4 minutes in this segment that we have to get to our guests in hour three. So what you got?
Got a very quick one out of Norcross, Georgia. Shout out to the Georgia fans down there. They get a giant for what, or at least this one does. Police say they are searching for a robbery suspect who held up a sub shop and then forgot his sandwich and returned to retrieve it. 34-year-old Zachary Miller was waiting for a sandwich at the sub shop on Medlock Bridge Road when he jumped over the counter, demanded cash, and opened the cash register. He got $100 out of the register, which, come on, is that really worth it? And then he fled, but he then realized that he left the sandwich he had ordered inside, and he went back to get it. He still got away, though, so in a sense, the police sort of get him for what here, because this dude not only robbed the store, but then left, came back, got his sandwich, left again. They know who he is, 34-year-old Zachary Miller, and he still has not been caught. It said he has multiple warrants for his arrest in the states of Tennessee and Georgia, both. Big fat for what here? Oh, I forgot my sandwich. I gotta go back. Gotta go back and get it. Don't want to forget that. You know, every good thief needs to stay nourished, needs to stay healthy. And you know, they gotta eat. They're grown boys. So that's my for what.
Man, I don't think we need another one, man. My goodness, you go to rob a sandwich shop, you get the money, all $100.
Yeah, $100.
And I guess you decide you want to make yourself a sandwich on your way out, and then you leave the sandwich. Instead of taking that money that you just stole to go get another sandwich, you go back risking getting caught to pick up your sandwich you left on the counter, and you still get away. Have they caught him yet?
That was, let me see, when that one was written. That was yesterday at 10:33 a.m. He was still at large. So I'm going to say he probably is still still out there.
All right, I'm giving a for what to the situation. Probably an attaboy to this young boy. But in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, a fugitive in western Pennsylvania was no match for a four-year-old. Deputies in Westmoreland County were searching for 24-year-old Jesse Vaughn Lawson last week on an arrest warrant for receiving stolen property and burglary. While checking at the apartment, Lawson's girlfriend told the police she hadn't seen Lawson in 5 days, but the woman's four-year-old son was more than happy to help. The boy says, quote, come on, I'll show you, and led them to an electrical closet where Lawson was hiding. So this guy got domed out by his girlfriend's son.
Oof.
Four-year-old son said, no, hey, wait, no. No, Jesse's over here. You ain't my daddy. You're not my daddy. I'm snitching on you. If you was my daddy, I'll lie for you. But you're not my daddy. Officers, he's right over here, sir. Come on, I'll show you. So the for what goes to Jesse Vaughn Lawson for getting snitched on by a four-year-old. Should have put a ring on it, man. Should have put a ring on it.
Yep.
Maybe the son would have been more loyal to you if he was his stepdad instead of just mommy's boyfriend. Beyonce was right. You should have put a ring on it. 865-255-03, B-Drop, waterproofing hotline. Taking a look at the text box this morning. We will be joined by Dave Bartu in hour three, and looks to be also joined by Aaron Suttles, who covers Alabama, so that'll be fun. But first, let's try to slip in one message here on the text box before we have to wrap up our number two. Can you speak on what you think, or maybe why Pruitt said he will not call the defense this week? I joined late. Don't know if you already talked about it. Pruitt was just joking. He was joking with Kevin Scherer. Kevin Scherer, him, was watching the film, and he says, hey, you can call defense this week. Good luck. It was a joke because Alabama's offense is so good. Yes, that is he's just truthful. But golly, Alabama's offense is potent. It's hard to guard, and it's gonna be a headache for Pruitt, no doubt about it. Because you can know what they're doing, you still gotta get your guys to know what to do and react. That's a whole other ball game. 865-255-03. Be right back.